How are we all doing this morning? I'm trying to find my spot. See if we're all working. If you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, please. Joshua, soldiers. Oh. Chapter 24. I suppose you need to know that, right? What a wonderful day to honor dads. And, of course, the greatest dad we honor is our Heavenly Father. And He's the one we want to honor at all times. So, I'm going to try and finish this in my allotted time. Nothing's too difficult, yeah. Okay, so are we all there? Let us pray. Father, we come to you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the Word. We thank you, Lord God, that your presence is evident here. We thank you, Lord God, that your Word would be sharp this morning. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that you would allow us to have Holy Spirit encounters today. And Lord God, we would leave here with our lives changed and uplifted because you are our dad. And we want to make much of Jesus, we want to make much of Father God, and much of Holy Spirit. And so Lord God, we bless you this morning, that you guide and lead us. So this morning, I want us to, because it is Father's Day, we carry on with our series, but today, because it is Father's Day, I want to talk about a father's legacy. A father's legacy. And we have much to learn from Father God, and today I want this to be a word of encouragement. I mean, this is for all of us, but I'm going to particularly bend it towards fathers today, and fathers-to-be, and men who do father in some capacity. So if you're a young man, if you're a middle man, or if you're an older man, this is for us today. And I sort of said that I guess I understand men a little bit better. And so I hope today is a helpful, hopeful, encouraging word for us all. And so we have to understand that we have this father's legacy. And I'm looking at the book of Joshua, not all of it, just pieces of it that would excite you. And we have to see, just so you understand, it starts off in chapter 1, God's promises. And it says, arise, go over this Jordan into the land that I'm giving. And it goes on, blah, blah, to the people of Israel. And he finishes off, I will not forsake you, nor will I leave you. That's chapter 1, verses 2 and 5. And then we see in chapters 1 to 10, verses 12 to 24, where God fulfills the promise that he made to Israel as they go in and they take their land and they take their inheritance and they go, ah, Canaan, we've made it. And then when you say, he says in 1 verse 6, he says, you shall cause this people to inherit the land. And we see in chapters 13 to 21 that the land is inherited and Joshua disperses the inheritance. And then we see in 1:7-9, be strong and very courageous, being careful to do everything according to the law. And we see in chapters 22 to 24 the covenant renewal. Now, the theme of the book of Joshua is an inheritance, and that's why I have had a look at it and look at what a great father's legacy. If we go to Abraham, who is our father, who the covenant was cut with in Genesis 12, and we take it Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 12 sons to the son of Levi. Levi had this son called M something, and then out of that came Moses. Moses called to take the people in, and Joshua fits in there as well. And this is a great father's legacy. But I want us to remember, and holding contention, Genesis 12, the promise of Abraham, because we're going to end off with that in Genesis 2. Whenever you want to know what's going on in the Bible, always start in Genesis, because it's very helpful. We see that this land is an inheritance, and it parallels. When we read Joshua, we read it in the spiritual, and of course you can hear I'm trying to talk fast to get through this. So I'm going to slow down a little bit. And if it takes another 5 minutes, so what? Okay. There we go. And so what we want to do is we want to be able to find out and see what is the Father's legacy that we see in Joshua spiritually that he has left us. And we have some practical helps to help us along the way. And we can apply it. And we see that if you learn nothing today, men, learn this piece of scripture. 12 words that will save your family. 12 words that will save your home. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it's not a light commitment. I remember the first time that scripture was highlighted to me. We'd been in the church for a little while. A little while, like 6 months. And they felt that we should become life group leaders. And we were eek shriek. I don't know if we can do that. And then I realized that there was nobody there who actually led worship in this group. So I went and bought a guitar and I started to play and learn to play the guitar. And when I got there was a guy in the group. His name was Tom. And not this Tom. This is in South Africa. Another Tom. Don't all turn around and look at him. And what happened is he was jealous that I had been called to lead this group. So what Tom, in his heart, this ambition in his heart got up. So the first night, because I thought that if you want to learn to play songs, don't go look for D minor, F sharp, F flat. Go for C, D, G, A, and F, for goodness sake. So I found all the songs with C, D, G, A minor, or A, and F, and I learned two or three of those. And I went to life group. And we're going to sing As the Deer Pants for the Water. And we sang it. And eventually Tom, who was standing next to me, in a big loud voice said, I'm going to move over here so I don't stand next to Mark and his half-baked talent and his half-singing voice to the life group. And I sweetly smiled because I carried on playing. My wife looked around the room and she thought to herself in her head, there is a big, sharp knife in the kitchen. I'm going to go and flatten this man's tires. How dare he talk to my husband like that? And when she left, that anger came out of her and I said, babes, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and we will love that man. And he became my best friend. Until he went home to glory. He was a great guy. But he just allowed a moment in time to get the better of him. And we see that. But as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. So let's have a look. We're not going to read a lot of scripture because you can go and read it yourself. Joshua chapter 24 verse 1. It says, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Long ago, and then he goes into this whole explanation of what happened long ago. And we understand that they're at Shechem, renewing the covenant, that if you go and read in Genesis 12, Abraham, the father, put up an altar to God where God had cut the covenant with him, which we still live under today. A covenant of renewal at Shechem. And he explains God's grace to them when they were there. And he said to him, well, you have to understand this. God's grace explained. Previously, Abraham, Terah were in idolatry, and I called him out of that, and I said to him, go to this place, and they served foreign gods, and the father Abraham was chosen to take hold of these people. And then in a couple of sentences, I gave them this, and I gave them that, and we understand, if you can understand men, fathers, God is giving us gifts, he's giving us an inheritance, and we have to walk in it and take hold of it as part of our legacy. The second thing he talks about is the redemption plan. Is this starting to make any sense to you? If you go and read Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 to 14, you'll see the same thing being said again, but from a different perspective. And we see here that God's redemption plan And then we had Father Moses, the father of the wilderness, and he comes along and he's sent to rescue the Israelites. This is all here in chapter 24. And they take them through the plagues, and he takes them through their deliverance in the sea and their baptism into Moses in the sea and out into their freedom, and goes on into Mount Sinai, and they get to Gerizim, and they take the tablets of stone and the laws given to them, and they pass on. And he talks to them and explains to them how God sustained them in the desert. And then he takes them and he says, I want to explain something else to you, how God delivered you from your enemies. In verses 24, 8 to 10. And he says how Father God helped them fight the battles. And we've preached on these different battles for us to fight and things that we've got to take, go in and possess and take for ourselves. There's no point if I stand here with a suitcase, $1 million, and I say, who wants this? And you all sit and look at me. Someone's got to come up and take it. I'm giving you an inheritance of $1 million, but you can't have it unless you come and take it and possess it and take hold of it. And then, as I said earlier, Canaan. We think it's all over. No, that's when just the fun really started. He says there was a radical commitment that was required. And Joshua explains to them, he says, don't just say we will serve God, because if you say you're going to serve God, you have to be accountable and you have to do it, otherwise you're going to be in trouble. He challenges them to serve God exclusively. Choose God or yourself. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And here's the leader stands up and makes this categoric statement. We see that the people respond favorably, and he issues this warning. Come with me to Joshua chapter 1. I've done this a little bit backwards because I want us to see something. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 9 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, and you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea towards the going down, or the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. No man can stand before you all the days of your life. Even as we go, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Familiar scriptures. I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Stay focused. Stay on the path. Stay looking to Jesus. Don't go down. If here we're going down the aisle, don't go down these little aisles here to see what's there. Just keep going. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If we could get those 9 verses into our spirit man, into us, and to understand that it doesn't matter what happens, God is with us if we obey Him, if we go forward in Him. And I'm running way ahead of myself now. So, I want to say to the fathers, let's have a lesson from Joshua. Joshua had some new responsibilities. How would you like it? Josh, listen now, Moses is dead. You're it. Well, I've been thinking along these lines. I thought that perhaps I should, when I stepped into fatherhood, when I stepped there, I'm not sure. If you're about to be a young man growing up to be a father one day, if you're already a father, if you're about to be a father, if you're already a father, even if you're a grandfather, there are some lessons we can learn today. I mean, I learned so much as I'm preparing this stuff and I'm going, wow, oh yeah, oh okay, that's good, that's for me, I'm going to take that one. Oh no, that's a little bit hard. I don't know. Should I share that with the people? Because then I've got to apply it to my life. No, this is all good. This is good stuff. He had new responsibilities. It was come upon him. You are now meant to call to lead. And sometimes when we, as men, we come upon that. Because Bridget and I didn't always have this idyllic marriage. She did her thing, I did my thing, and we were happy, happy. So we thought. Not so much. Until we decided, and I understood what God had called me to be. And then it wasn't like, oh, now you rein her in, boss. No, then you actually stand next to her and you say, babes, let's walk this thing together. People have understood this thing so badly. Now I'm the boss of you and you've got to do what I say. If anybody knows, well, let's not use my wife. Let's try Janine. Michael says, I'm the boss of you. I'm going to tell you now, there's hairs on the back of the neck you don't even see she's got going to stand up straight. Ching! That goes for all the elders' wives. They actually, we got some Taitanis, which means tough ladies. And it's good. I told the men once, strong women are not the issue. It's weak men that are the issue. There we go. At least the ladies are responding. Wow. Guys, stand up. Say, yeah, Mark, that's us. Grab your sword and shield. Let's go. All right, okay. He had been prepared all along the way. He fought battles with Moses. He was with Moses. He was a Moses' assistant when the law was given. He was a man of faith. When him and the 11 other guys went in to capture and see what Canaan looks like and who's there, and Joshua and Caleb came back with a great report, said, man, we got to go. And the 10 wimps said, well, there's some big guys there. And they said, no, let's go and take them. Because God says, I will be with you always. I will not forsake you. Does that sound like something else? Matthew 28? Great Commission. I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He was a man of the future and for the future. He said, let's go. A father's legacy. He man who loved God's presence. You know when Greg spoke about over the weekend and they would stand at their tent? And when Moses would go to the tent of meeting, he took Joshua with. And when Moses had his fill with God, he would leave the tent. And what happened with Joshua? He would sit and just bask in God's glory in the tent. He was a man of God's presence. Husbands, fathers, men, we've got to practice being in God's presence, in His Word. He took hold of what God gave. As much as there's giving from God, you know, we think it's just like all one side. God gives, God gives, God gives, and I just sit and I get fat cat. Now, when He gives you a command, He's captain of the host, captain of the army. We've got to get up and go and do something about it. We actually got to get up and go and take hold of what He's given us. Otherwise, we have all this stuff, this like, you know, hoarders, just this clutter of stuff behind us. Look what God gave me. Oh, what are you doing with it? What are you walking in it? Well, God gave it to me. Look at it, isn't it? I take photos. Go home to your closet and open. Look what God gave me. Well, what's it doing in the closet? Isn't it supposed to be out there being used for the king and his kingdom? Fathers who had God given them, we have to take hold of it. God is that gracious that He invites Joshua to consider the inheritance. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites. What? There's Hittites? We've got to go and do something? Yeah, that's the taking I'm talking about. To the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your inheritance. When I read that, I thought, what do you mean? As far as you can see where the sun goes down. You know how far that is to walk? To get there, the huge inheritance He has for us. We've got to learn to take hold of it. He was obedient to God's commands. He says, be strong and courageous 4 times in one chapter. I think he's trying to make a point. We can't be weak-kneed. We can't go, I'm afraid. I watched a movie the other day and the guy stands up and he says, I'm not a brave man, but I'm not a coward. I'm with you. And sometimes we might just be in there, I'm not a brave man, but I'm also not a coward. I'm actually going to stand up. And when the bugs hit me in the head, I'm going to go, ouch, because they hurt. No, it didn't hurt. No, it did. He says, be strong and courageous. He says in verse 1, 7, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. He says there is no deviation for you. You can't go down the little aisles and let's examine this and let's examine that. And oh, this piques my interest. No, Jesus has called us. Focus. Stay focused for inheritance that we have. Men, be constant in meditation. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. And I know we go, what does that mean? Well, it means that if you meditate on it, when you feel like it, when you catch a minute or two spare, that things are going to go well with you. No. Day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all. Because we can't follow the manual if we don't know what's in the manual. Well, I'm not sure. Well, what's the Bible say? I'm clueless. The Bible says that husbands should wash their wives with the water of the word. If you don't know what the word, how are you going to do that? Don't get me started. He had favor with the people. Why? The reason he had favor with the people is because they saw his, all the things that Jessica said about her dad this morning, and all the things that the other kids said about their dads this morning. They saw that in them. I'm telling you now, dads, if your kids do not see it in you, they will not be like that. I'm not getting on your case. I want to encourage you. What is the legacy you're leaving your kids? Some of you know my brother's story. I wasn't going to tell you, but I thought I'm here. 18 years ago, my brother deserted his family. Left them. Three small children. Left them. Ran away. Went. Disappeared. He decided he was going to go and live another lifestyle. He was sitting in his office, successful in his business that he was doing. Sitting in his office, and a guy said something like this on the radio. What is the legacy that you are leaving your children? It hit my brother so hard, he resigned from his job, left the place where he was, left the partner that he had, traveled all the way back to Southern Carolina, got a new job, recommitted his life to the Lord, and started living for Jesus. And when I called him up, I said to him, are you going to remarry Nancy? He said, no, forget that. That's never happening. 2 years ago, I had the privilege of going down to Kentucky to marry them. She had waited solidly for 18 years for God's grace to kick into my brother's life. Don't tell me it's not possible. I know God's grace is above all. And when you submit yourself to that thing, now ask you fathers and dads and men here, what legacy are you leaving your children today? I didn't want this to be. I hope this is not hard. I'm trying to encourage you. And Joshua had favor with his people. 1:16, and they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. That's seriously committed. I don't know why it works this way, but it does. Ladies, don't fight me on this, but it does. when men will take their place in the family and do what God tells them to do, the family comes right. Scripture teaches us that. Science teaches us that. Society teaches us that. I had a whole bunch of facts I was going to bring, but time's run me by. I'm just telling you, it works that way. Be encouraged, men. It's never too late. I don't care if you're 12, 24, or 84. I'm still learning lessons. Okay, so I want us to have a look at some practical applications to be men like Joshua. Number one, the man of God is a man of dedication. Men can get committed. Well, I battle with commitment. That's a lie of the enemy. If you say, well, I have difficulty in committing to stuff. No, I've seen you commit yourselves to hockey games. I've seen you commit yourself to whatever takes your fancy. I know. I used to be one of those beats to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to watch a rugby game in Australia. Oh, I'm too tired. I can't do anything else today. But there's a rugby game on. Ding! Hello, I'm there. You know, what time is it? 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I'm there. No, that's not a problem. Just bring the coffee. We can get committed when we want to. Did you hear what I said? When we want to. We can be committed to God's person, the man that He's called us to be. We can be committed to God's plan, that we manifest Himself to the world through us. And we can be committed to God's people. The first sheep that you have, any man here is married, your first sheep is your wife. And then your children. Not your children first and then, I'm sorry. Learn some scripture. And then your family. I know some of you are going, oh Mark, this is just too hard now. Secondly, the man of God is a man of destiny. We sing that song, I have a purpose, I have a destiny. And then we go, come on guys, man up with me. I'm not telling you to man up with me. God has a plan for your life, He has an inheritance. Joshua is a model of courage. Sometimes we are fearful, as I explained earlier. Sometimes we just attempt to live up to unrealistic expectations of ourselves. You know, sometimes you're not gifted this way. Don't try and be like that. Just be who you are called to be. Well, it's just too hard. I'm just going to give up and not try at all. And then you know what happens? Your wife has now got to be the one who's running all over the place, doing everything for you, shaking these trees, shaking those trees, fighting your battles. Be strong and courageous. Be a man of destiny. Joshua is a model of courage. Joshua is a model of conviction. He had realistic attitudes. He kept on being faithful and following God. We keep on faithful and hearing the words of Jesus echoed in our heads. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Oh, you are, be strong and courageous. Go down this road. Go over there. Walk this way. No, but Bob's over there. I want to go and walk like Bob. No, leave Bob alone. You walk this way. But Bob's path looks easier. Walk this way. Yeah, I was one of those stupid kids. Seriously. I understand this stuff. We'd go out as a bunch of teens, and we'd have to climb this hill. And the guys would look, oh, look, there's a path going up around the side. Okay. And 80% of them went around the path and were standing at the top. And yeah, now me, I'm like, what's the difficult way to get up there? I had no idea what was wrong with me. I always looked for the difficult spots. Yeah, now we've got to climb here and we've got to dig in there. Oh, look how far I'm going to fall. Yeah. And I get to the top and the guys are all like, geez, Mark, that took you a long time. I had this thing in my head. I was built. No. Not so much now, but underneath all this lies a good body. And I had muscles and I wanted to exercise them and take the difficult part. I don't know what's, I know. He was a model of courage. Joshua was also a model of conviction. Joshua was also a model of compassion. God created us to love. We've got to learn to love like Jesus did. Oh no, Mark, don't talk about love. And I told you, a friend of mine wrote that song, Kiss Me With The Kisses Of Your Mouth. And when I'm singing that song to Jesus, I'm freaking out. Oh, kiss Jesus. Get over yourself. I'm happy to kiss Jesus now. When I consider the wonders of the cross and the work and the wonder of the cross, I kiss his feet, I kiss his hands, I kiss him on the face. I didn't go to the lips, you heard me. I know. Jesus, the man of God is a man of decision. Don't let your life be one of regrets. What will you do? What decision will you make next? Has God been talking to you to do something? Well, it sounds like a good plan, Mark. Like, you know, when we sit around the dining room table, what should I? Open the Bible, read a scripture, discuss it with the kids. It's not hard. Well, you don't understand. No, I do. Whom will you choose to serve? When will you choose? Lastly, men who will learn the word of, we need men who will learn the word of God. Be encouraged. Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. A man who will love the word of God. For I find my delight in your commandments which I love. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your promise is well tried and your servant loves it. It's written by a poet and a king and a soldier and a warrior and a friend and a son and a father. Men who live the word of God, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. All this lets us know that we as Christians, as men of God, as the family of God, as young men of God, we can lay hold of what God has for us. We shall, or we do have an inheritance ahead of us that He gave us, and we've got to go and take it or receive it. We repeatedly face new situations as God leads us forward. Not everyone, every situation's the same. We got how many people? Yeah, we can line you up and say, what's your situation for today? And we'll go away with 150 different situations. God prepares us for what He wants us to do for Him. God will do the giving, but we must do the taking. We must be strong and very courageous. Remember, when the family camp, Greg explained that thing about the angle at which you want to, you know, some, we're just happy to plateau along. Or do you want to take the high rise? Because the high rise is going to cost us a little bit more. The danger is going to come. I am fully aware that every time I stand up here to preach the word of God, and I want to go the high rise vertical, I know that by the time I'm finished here and I'm walking out of here, that I'm actually not fearful, but I'm aware what the enemy is going to say in my head, or what the enemy is going to use someone to say to me, or what's going to happen, that I might get irritated. I'm aware the enemy is there, but I want to be strong and courageous, very courageous in actual fact. I want to deliver the word of God that we all go, no, no, listen, I'm not going for the easy, I'm not going to take the easy path up. I want to look for where the difficult crags and rocks to climb up. Oh, okay. Let me close it. Genesis 12. Genesis 12. Are we okay? No, I know that. I know that. Listen, let me finish. Okay, jeez, you also... No, it's Genesis 18! Yeah, I know that. Genesis 12, God cuts the covenant with Abraham at Shechem, and He sets up the monument there. Years later, Joshua 24, Joshua renews the covenant. Go and read it, Joshua 24. Renews the covenant at Shechem. And then he uses the scripture at the end, which refers back to Genesis 18:19, the father Abraham. For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him. His household after him. To keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. The legacy that Abraham left to his children and his children's children, his children's children, he's reminded again in Genesis 18, referring to a scripture in Joshua chapter 24, that this, when we renew this covenant, this promise that I promised back there is still in play, and the legacy that he has left I will credit to Abraham. I ask you again, man, what legacy are you leaving for your children? What legacy are you leaving for your family? Are you taking hold of your inheritance and the promises that you've been given? I encourage you, go away, sit down, write them down, think about them, pray about them, offer them to God. Say, God, I will believe, I will stand on, but as for me and my house, no matter what comes, we will serve the Lord. Father God, we come to you today and we honor you. You are Abba, Father. You are Daddy to us, Lord. And so God, we want to honor you this day. We thank you for your promises, that they are true. We thank you, Lord God, that you will fulfill every promise that you've given to us, just as you did for the Israelites. We thank you, Lord God, for these forefathers of us that walked in your ways, that they teach us from the pages of Scripture, Lord. We have a rich inheritance. Bless us today as we go. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.